Would you be surprised if I told you that 88% of people in America have some form of metabolic syndrome? This encompasses a group of problems leading to your vulnerability to viruses, chronic diseases, Alzheimer's, and even cancer. Today's program is going to encourage you through some practical daily steps to promote a healthier lifestyle and tap into your body's own healing power. I'm Charisse Parton, and this is Return to Eden. Hey, welcome. Welcome to Return to Eden. I'm so glad you guys are here at home and here in the studio audience. I want to introduce who's going to join the conversation today. He's a board-certified holistic health practitioner, a professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO of Skywatch TV, and author of best-selling books, including the internationally acclaimed book, Time Bomb. Welcome, Joe Horn.
Hi, Charisse. Hey, everybody.
Also joining the conversation today with us is a certified holistic health coach through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and product development manager for professional grade supplement and body care line, Eden's Essentials. Welcome, Daniel Belt.
Hi, Charisse. It's good to be here.
Hey, welcome. So, Joe, Daniel, today's episode is one that I really hope challenges our viewers who are primarily on that standard American diet with, you know, initiating a shift possibly to lessen their rate of obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, hormone issues, weight, digestive.
Right.
We can all do better with just a few little things. So let's jump into some really sensible ways to get started with this. So one of the first things that I first learned is, you know, getting off of the refined flours and sugars.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make is thinking that, you know, calories count. Well, you know, for me, I found that it's not the calories, it's the ingredients that I was eating. You know, that made a big difference. There's a lot of foods that are really high in refined flours and sugars. And I was reading yesterday that 3 out of 4 things in your grocery store have added sugars. And it's just, it's off the chain.
It's way more stuff than is available without.
Exactly.
And you mentioned like the flours. And so the idea that everything now that health advocates are looking for in the grocery store to be gluten-free.
Right.
And marketers have now figured out that this is a popular trend. They're marking things that you should inherently know have no flour product in them.
Like water.
Like water. No, seriously. Or eggs.
Yeah.
You guys have seen this, right? And you pick it up. And those of you that kind of know what gluten is, but they're taking advantage of the fact that a lot of lay people, they don't even know what gluten is. It's a very difficult to digest protein. So people will pick a product up. Hey, this is kosher and gluten-free. It's got to be healthy.
It's healthy.
And they have no idea that it's laden with artificial sweeteners and sugars. And what happens over time is that your digestive tract starts to accommodate the gut flora. We've talked an awful lot about the kind of bacteria that you have in your digestive tract. And to simplify things, there is healthy bacteria that's a proponent of your health, lactobilicus, things that you need, things that you get from fermented foods, for example. We've talked an awful lot about that.
Right.
But most of the food that's on the market today panders to, and of course it's this dichotomy, it's this circular round and round and round figure eight, where the food that is marketed to appeal to people also happens to be what the gut flora has then pivoted to want to absorb and digest.
Mm.
So flours and sugars, and you end up with candidas, fungal
overgrowth
from the gut.
Right.
So you then crave the very stuff that raises your glucose, pushes you towards obesity and diabetes.
Yeah.
And you get to a point like I once was. And of course, the viewers that did not see the episodes we did with you, the two pilots, where we talked about your health, your particular journey through cardiovascular health.
Exactly.
Specifically, this woman, ladies and gentlemen, for those that missed, had, and I'm using the word had, a pacemaker put in to help regulate her cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
And that's a whole series of shows that we've already done.
Go back and watch. Yeah.
But she's literally got this pacemaker in her Bible now as a reminder of the restorative work that God did, beginning with spontaneous healing, but then the care that she's given her body after that through dietary choices and so forth.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get to a point where I once was, where you really don't feel full, unless you eat a sugar-riddled carb,
right.
Peanut butter with cereal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's really nefarious more than people realize because on one level, it's a desire that we have. It's actually natural for us to crave these things. That is known, and therein lies where the real struggle comes in. So when you're talking about having 3 out of 4 products having additional sugars, and, you know, we don't want to have to, like, delve into, like, the very detailed science that how this comes about, but they know that these disrupt the endocrine system.
Right. When you say they, you mean the manufacturers.
Industry.
The industry.
So we're talking about, you know, the big food producers.
Yeah.
So they actually, through food science, ironically enough, have discovered actually how to disrupt and derange our endocrine system, which determines how we feel and actually so much of what we want and desire.
So especially, they've done that with intention, Dan.
Oh, yes. This is, it's, yeah.
Because a lot of manufacturers, they're only concerned about one thing.
Right.
And that's manufacture quickly.
Right. Get it on the
Because
shelf.
We need the bottom line to give us the kind of financial reports we want for the fourth quarter, whatever.
Yeah.
And the regard for how it actually behaves inside of your body once consumed is not the top priority.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And cigarettes have fallen in this group, some other things too, but especially with sugars, we're like, well, you know, I deserve to get what I want.
This, it's
this
a reward.
Is nice. And it actually it truly
it
is a good thing.
Makes you feel better for a bit.
There's a reason why that reward center exists.
Yeah.
Because it is actually a positive reward for things that we should be able to identify as good and really enjoy, but we really don't at the same level because they put these things in here that completely influence our hormones to make us want things that our bodies don't actually want.
Right.
So we're not free to choose. We feel like, well, I'm free to choose kind of whatever. And I'm a proponent of that. I never want to tell anybody ever what to choose.
Yeah.
At the same time, most people don't understand that they're not actually choosing.
Right.
They've
arranged. Or they're at least at a minimum being guided by a chemical override that they don't recognize.
And so in addition to that, you have the very legal aspect of addiction. So sugar causes stimulus and that produces addiction.
Right.
So whenever they put this in everything, and I'm not even a proponent of like you never have to have sugar. Like there's a good place for it. And whenever you're healthy,
your brain
and you're
needs
active,
some sugar to function.
Then and even you can be a little indulgent whenever you're an active person, whenever your nutritional needs are
not
being met and things like this.
Insulin,
but they know that this subverts that and it subverts our desires and compels us to do this. Some of it is our desire, but we're being compelled to do it. And so this is well known. And the downstream effect of this, which is what you guys were talking about, was like, okay, we're talking diabetes, heart disease, obesity,
Alzheimer's.
Literally you could tie it to cancers, inflammation, sugar's number one, pain, headaches.
Right.
You could go all day on the negative effects of processed and too much sugar.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, which is why they know this, because the way that we do business here, it's whatever morality we bring to it. And so the desire is to capitalize upon those who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we actually have to then do the pushback, which is the education to let people at least know that this is the case so that they can be equipped with the information that will allow them to at least make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, be like,
and so it's not just like sugars, you know, like, you know, we think about a pastry or a donut or a cereal, but that's also like a cracker, you know, a carbohydrate load in a cracker is going to equal into sugar in the body at some point.
Yeah. And then people that struggle with like weight, why can't I lose weight? I've never eaten less. But it's sometimes what you're eating, because your body does learn to then burn carbs rather than fat.
Yeah, exactly.
So like one of my dear friends, Loretta Quayle, Steve Quayle's wife, you know, she's got this very high-fat diet, and she's shaped like your standard Barbie-esque. She's a fitness guru.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
She's
absolutely in shape. But she eats, I think, more fat than I do.
Yeah.
But it's because she has trained her metabolism to work through fat as the source of fuel and not to then conserve carbohydrates and burn that first and store fat. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's huge when it comes to neurodegenerative diseases. When it comes to, like what you're saying, Alzheimer's and some of this, it really has some long-term effects that are devastating.
Yeah.
Not just kind of, sort of. Like, you know, when you start really forgetting what you enjoyed, when you start really forgetting your children, when you those, we can never say what the impact is, and the ties to children. What this also suggests in regards to like people on the spectrum of autism or Asperger's and these developmental neurodegenerative different aspects of these diseases, they have devastating effects. And a part of this big struggle is it's something that we all share in common, and it's not a bad thing. We want to share in fellowship, where coffee can be a fellowship.
Sure.
You know, and I don't mean a bad one. Right. You know what I mean? It can be a good one provided in its right place. Same way with, like, you could have the occasional, like, little apple crisp or something like that, provided your body's healthy. Treat. These things are supposed to be. We're supposed to enjoy it.
If the nutrition values are in your body, the reserves are there, it can cope with an occasional treat. It's just that when... Often people will use it as a crutch. They will rationalize the never-ending perpetual treat as the go-to, and it's not in balance at all. Well, I can do this today. I can do it tomorrow.
Man,
I can.
That's a sad
and by the way, this is just to circle back, we should probably give a couple examples when I say a high-fat diet. Because I don't want people watching this program to then go,
we're going there. We're going to go there.
Yeah,
we're,
actually, that's our next.
He said I could eat whatever I want, saturated fats and the grocery, you know, the gas station burritos that you heat up in a microwave.
No, it's a perfect segue.
It's high in fat. It's got to be good for me.
It's got to be good for me. Yeah, that's the thing about a good fat and a bad fat. You know, some of those bad fats, you know, we have seen all of the horrible stories about, you know, cancer, and or if you go on some of those Discovery or this channel or that channel, and they show you how the hydrolyzed canola oil is made, it's scary.
It causes an aging in the organs, and then it becomes demenstrable in other ways. And so whenever we clean up these aspects of our lives, what it does is it takes the burden off our organs. That's going to keep us alive longer. It's going to keep us well longer. And I think that that's something we don't look at it. We look at it as, oh, that caused skin cancer or thyroid cancer.
Sure.
But we don't really look at it as overall burdening of the body and just maybe why aches and pains start to creep in down the road, and arthritis and inflammation and heart disease. And it really is tied to everything.
And I know this is a very sensitive topic, but brain cognitive diseases that create memory loss, decline, that kind of thing. A lot of this is tied to, and a lot of our traditional doctors don't talk about this at all, but it's tied to brain plaque, cardiovascular plaque. And there's things like modified citrus pectin from food, you know, in the right dose can actually help eat away at some of that plaque. And healthy fats, for example.
Right.
There's a lot of studies. You can just do a basic study and find that healthy fats have a lot to do with improving brain function. People that are, you know, they walk into a room and they can't remember why they did.
Yeah.
Or
they
start to have memories of a decade ago, and it takes them a minute to come back to the current. And they're mentally declining. Healthy fats have done a lot to help improve that, and in a lot of cases done some almost miraculous things.
Well, so just to be clear, the brain's made out of fat. Like, and I don't think we actually like equate that. That's literally the case. And without trying to go too deep in on it, fats are about molecular organization, and which is why it's so prevalent in the brain, because how those molecular organization of the fats determines the way signals are being sent into the brain. And whenever you don't get that, and because of cell replication and cells dying off, well, new cells are made. And if those fats aren't there, then it cannot develop correctly. And we see this in, back to kind of the spectrums of children, one of the first things, which is the number one selling supplement in the world, which is fish oil.
Right.
Which is basically fat in a bottle. It's just, it's good fat
vitamin
in
E,
a bottle.
If you get a good one, vitamin E, methylation.
Yeah. There's other, which is why we need a spectrum of good fats, which would be like nuts and seeds and things like, not seed oils.
No.
You know, which is kind of what, just to identify a little bit more clearly some of these bad fats, which would be like heated fats,
sunflower
fats that we've cooked too much,
sunflower, cotton seed oil, corn oil, your vegetables, vegetable oils, canola.
Right. And we really need to reduce that and get these good fats. Now, there is one good stream of information that comes through is like, actually, good fat will offset bad fat. Which actually means, and I know this is doesn't hit right with all the Puritans, like it's got to be an either or, but it actually means that you can have some bad fats, and they're pretty much offset by the good fats. So you can have...
But your good fat needs to be the dominant.
Absolutely. It needs to be the dominant, and when that happens, there's actually very little movement of the needle at all when you actually have a bad fat. It's just as long as you're keeping it in the minimum.
Right.
It's so fundamental. And when you talk about brain health, there's no correct inflammatory response without fats as well. So like if you got pain, inflammation, arthritis, all that stuff's tied to that as well. There's no healthy cardiovascular disease. In science, and more specifically food science, there's a reason why they call them EFAs, essential fatty acids. They don't say essential proteins. They don't say essential this. Essential is not a casual term when it's used in biology. It's a literal, like, no, you cannot have even basic human function
without
these. And so it's incumbent upon us to get that in sure. in the right proportions.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely been done away with in our dietary society when you combine this. And as we segued from sugar into fats and why there's a real relationship between those things,
yeah.
it's actually keeping this in its right place. Yeah. In the 80s, they came out with this pretty broad spectrum study. And I couldn't even believe how corrupt it was because the plot seemed so kindergarten-esque. They literally took these studies where, but studying between fats and sugars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are government-funded studies and industry-funded studies, both, which is why it turned out the way it did. We're old enough to remember it, like in the 80s, like no fat, don't sizzle fat, sizzle
right.
lean,
right.
like no
right.
margarine, like we need margarine, we don't, no butter, no
yeah.
fats, nothing,
yeah,
right?
Fat-free, fat-free.
Which is why we're now
fat-free.
Buying fat
oh,
in a bottle,
what a
is because
right,
we didn't
exactly.
get any good fats, is
yeah,
now
the
why we have to
that
buy
you
it.
Eat the whole box because
yeah.
they're fat free.
Yeah.
The whole box.
Well, because they had come out with all these like diseases of the cardiovascular, cholesterol,
yeah.
stroke, all of these things. And then in turn, but all they did was switch the terms
yeah.
of sugar and fat.
Yeah.
So they found that actually the fats were really good for you and the sugars were really terrible.
Daniel, hold that thought. We're going to have okay. to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to tell you about some healthy fats that you can swap out in your cabinet today.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now. Trouble with digestion, diabetes, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalances, depression, autoimmune disease, and more. The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of vitally important nutrition. It is well established that the food we eat today has but just a fraction of the nutrition it once carried. Over the last 6 decades, there has been an alarming fall in nutrient density across the board, from fruits and vegetables to meat, dairy and eggs, due to soil depletion and intensive agricultural growing and harvesting methods. This means that less and less key nutrients like riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, fiber, copper, vitamin E, and phosphorus, just to name a few, are present in what we eat. What's worse, almost all of our food is laden with poisonous herbicides, pesticides, and antibiotics which destroy our body's microbiome, the health of our digestive tracts where 80% of our immune system resides. In short, it means that we're not being nourished properly. And when you add the constant exposures to toxic chemicals we were never meant to ingest, our bodies are destined for the rise of disease and dysfunction. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? At Eden's Essentials, we provide the absolute best and cleanest nutrient-dense whole food supplements and personal care products on the market, derived directly from non-genetically modified foods grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest quality nutrition possible. So what is the Eden's Essentials difference? Well, many supplements on the market are packaged, labeled, and presented as healthy or even organic. But under the microscope, the ingredients may tell a different story. From expensive products being nutritionally void of what is advertised on the label, or using synthetic vitamins that our bodies struggle to absorb, to containing the same pesticides and herbicides we've already mentioned being used on foods, it's difficult to know what products are actually safe or as advertised. At Eden's Essentials, our products undergo a series of the most complete and rigorous raw material tests in the industry to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality bioabsorbable nutrition possible. We take pride in offering the most nutritionally dense supplements and the purest personal hygiene products available today. Our desire is to help serve the needs of everyday people so that they can achieve the highest degree of health possible. From our full-spectrum, immunity-boosting fermented mushrooms, some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition, to our 100% fermented organic whole beetroot powder for cardiovascular support, and our special Eden's blood sugar support for assisting proper insulin regulation, you can nourish your body like never before. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. Experience for yourself the Eden's Essentials difference and join the Eden's family. Visit edensessentials.com today.
Hey, welcome back. Before the break, we were about to tell you about some of those bad oils that we were just mentioning and what you can do in your kitchen to swap them out. So the bad oils we talked about were like cottonseed and sunflower, canola, the vegetable oils, the peanut oil.
Yeah. Especially when they label vegetable oil. Right. Like when it just says vegetable oil, that's like the worst.
Right, exactly. You don't know what it's just like. Right. It's kind of like aggregate. The Heinz 57 of mutts or whatever. It's all in there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some good fats, some good oils that you can practically do. And what I did, because when I transitioned my journey, I didn't necessarily have the money to be able to go take everything out of my cabinet, that I've spent a lifetime building. So as something would be done, empty,
like run out.
I'd run out of it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'd go replace it with something that's better that I learned.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah, one of the
kind of takes the overwhelming.
Yeah, because it can be
vertical
very,
climb out.
Yeah,
of it.
Some people can just do a complete cabinet clean out.
Yeah.
And they're just going to go full in, and I kind of had to tiptoe into that.
Actually, it's pretty rare, and I'll just leaning a little bit back when I used to have a lot of clients. Is they would want to do that, but actually, as often as not, they would quit.
Yeah.
Because it was too much.
Yeah. It's overwhelming.
And so, which runs counter to the kind of rhetoric and philosophy that, I'm coming from, or where my discipline comes from, is not to be that way.
Right.
But at the same time, we have to meet them where they are. And
exactly.
Yours, which is what I almost always suggest them, don't go home and throw out everything. Instead, look at the most vital things, and as you come to terms with that, let's take that out and let's just be better. Let's not, and that takes the pressure off. I think that's really an important thing. It's
if
you don't have to be perfect, you just have to be better. You got the rest of your life on it. Your body is very forgiving,
exactly.
But also we have to do something to make the difference.
Absolutely.
And so we don't want the
improvements that are consistent are way more valuable than these spikes. And I'm on a diet and I'm going super nutrition.
Yeah.
But now I've bit off more than I can chew, and none of this was sustainable. So now I don't have the time to do the thing I did yesterday. So I'm going to hit the drive-through, and then the guilt. I fell off the wagon again, and now
That's cyclical.
The up and down, the spike. So I never thought about doing that.
Yeah.
The replace one as it runs out thing. I'm the de facto.
Right. You're the exception to the
rule.
I took a flamethrower to my house, literally. Okay, proverbially, but and I mean we dumped everything. All of the cereals. And that meant that we had this big, massive, empty vacuum. And then, like, the next day, man, I cannot even explain to you the detox sickness that I had, like, hour 72.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I was telling my wife, like, I would literally give almost anything right now. I was craving wheat toast with salt and butter so hard.
Really?
Because, it was like for 20 years
with all
my autoimmune disease and my,
yeah.
I had to have a carb and I had no idea what I was doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I had no idea what I was doing. This was years ago. And I had heard the words like bone broth. Mm. So my wife, this beautiful woman, she's so sweet. She goes and she gets this butcher with grass-fed cows to give her shoulder bones that then we would pressure cook. And it made this. To palate, it was awful. There was nothing about it that was like distilled down But anyway, the point is I started drinking bone broth and only eating vegetables. So I went to zero carbs. And I'm telling you guys, man, I was dizzy. It felt like I had the flu for 2 months.
It's called the detox flu. I wanted to actually piggyback really quick on what you'd said, because this one was a vital thing. And we also want to give them some practical advice.
I was worried about my kidneys. I was having lower back pain.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, we don't have time, but the point is it was severe. And I would caution people to move slower than I did is my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went through the same thing because we're both kind of extreme guys on certain levels.
And we've never looked back.
Yeah. And,
right.
And, but it did cause a lot of pain, a lot of struggle. My ex-wife looked at me and was like, who are you?
Right.
Like it changed my emotions. Like
I
got angry and I had this flu thing, but I wanted to tie something really quick.
Yeah.
You'd said like, nothing. I promise you, when all of us who started this, that worked our way to this, not since we were in school and as kids, we all knew nothing.
Exactly.
Like we all started from nothing. So
just
if we sound authoritative, it is really because we did the work and then also put our body through the process and our practices through the process.
There's something else too, and I'll share this because this is from personal experience. When we first made our health conversion, because this could really help somebody out there, I thought, because I don't cook. And it was not a chauvinistic thing whatsoever. You don't want to see me in the kitchen. Or back then, it was a total disaster. I have since become quite the little cook in my house. Okay. But back then, it was like, you don't want to see me in the kitchen. I'll take whatever might have been salvageable, and I'll make it worse. Like, you don't want to eat my food. So the way we were going to go about it is Catherine is going to build my smoothie in the morning with all of my dark leafy greens, which by the way, you know, whole other show, but my stomach literally couldn't deal with healthy things. There was no enzyme capacity. My gallbladder didn't even know how to cope with vegetables. And this is stuff that, like, people... I feel terrible when I eat well, right?
Right. Yeah. I've heard that.
We talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, your gut ecology is not equipped at all. That takes time to foster and to rebuild.
Yeah. And it costs prices. You're going to feel poor in an effort to transition to this better place.
Unless you move slower and you work with maybe a practitioner that can help give you some guidance, which anyway. But with just a couple of minutes left, because this could be really important for somebody, I went all in. And by all in, I meant Catherine is now responsible. My wife is now responsible to build my smoothie. And because she's the cook, she knows how to make food. She's got to help me with this, honey. And I found after, it didn't take me 2 weeks, there was no possible reality on earth where I was going to be able to eat consistently what I needed to eat and expect that my wife was also going to have time to drive over in the middle of the day and meet me somewhere with a smoothie. Or is this making sense?
Yeah.
So I had to take on my eating for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the upside was my wife lost like 35 pounds.
Yeah.
Because she started watching what I was eating, and I'm not eating with the rest of the family. Yeah. We were trying to nurse me back from the literal grave.
Yeah.
Post, you know, half my colon had been removed and all of this. But watching me do that, she now felt like it was easier to kind of eat what I was doing.
Sure.
Hey, honey, do you want me to make twice the amount?
Yeah.
Why don't you skip the sausage and the pancake and have my smoothie?
Yeah.
Well, this, anyway, long story, this trickled down now the kids. Now we get one big universal. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you have to do this for yourself. If you're in a position where you need a little help, maybe your circumstances are unique. Maybe you have somebody living in that's that's totally got the time and the capacity to help you, but I didn't.
Yeah, no.
And if I had waited for my wife to take on all of these particular things dietarily for me, I don't think I would have continued the journey.
It was on me.
So anyway.
And I did want to throw out really quick. So we wanted to tell some people about some of the good oils that are so instrumental. It's so hard to convey all these in such a short order, all the important info. But so that's going to be your nuts and seeds, just to kind of in their original form. So it's going to be like walnuts are going to be really good for you. Pumpkin seeds are going to be really good for you. Almonds. You
know, coconut oil,
avocado.
I cook with avocado oil almost,
or just eat the avocado.
And grass-fed
Brazil
butter.
Nuts. And to be clear, we're really talking about raw nuts and seeds. The oils are just in a much better position because when you roast a nut, you actually oxidize the oil, so it deranges its effectiveness to some degree.
So when you stop by the gas station, you get honey, sugar covered, like roasted. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not what we're talking about. And it's best to soak actually them as well. Yeah. Give them a few hours, and that actually undoes some of the lectins and gets it more active. But it's really vital. Fat's one of the most vital things that we absolutely don't get enough of, and is probably dietarily the most significant thing tied to the kinds of diseases that we see emerging more and more as modern times
go on.
Good
quality olive oil, too.
Yeah, olive oil.
Avocado oil.
Yeah, extra virgin.
Yeah, all those things. Easy things that you can do right there at home. One at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself. Eat better, feel better, live better. We'll learn more together next time on Return to Eden.